Rabbeinu. Besides being Moshe Rabbeinu's yard site, we have a Messiah that it's Esther Amalke. That it's Esther's yard site as well today. So it's a big day. Moshe Rabbeinu's yard site. And it's Morty's sandwich. It's Hebrew birthday. Wow. Nice. So clearly a big day. Yeah.
Morty!
Who has hot cocoa powder?
Now.
Public bracha.
Morty, give us a bracha.
Public bracha.
Public announcement, who has hot cocoa powder?
I'm using the moment, huh?
Morty, have bracha?
Now, Chevra.
So, Chevra,
today is Zayin Adar, the birthday of Moshe Rabbeinu and the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, all of us know that Haman, when he decided to kill the Yidden, Hippel Pur, he made a lottery. He made some sort of lottery to pick out a day to figure out. He made a geirel, a poor is like picking lots. He'll pick out the date when he's going to destroy Eitan, the Jewish people. In a very, very bizarre thing, we call the day Purim, which is extremely strange because it's like a very big side detail that Haman, like, he decided, hey, I want to kill the Jews. He wants to do genocide and kill the Yidden. And he does like a lottery to pick out what day. He doesn't know when he should make Xer against the Yidden. He does a lottery, and then we call the day Purim based on his lottery. Very bizarre. In the choice of names, it has to be one of the weirdest names. Chanukah, as a mashal, is a Yom Tov d'Rabbanan. The name Chanukah, it was actually the Chanukah Samizbeit, the Chanukah of the Mishkan. The inauguration of the Mishkan, and it makes sense, it's called Chanukah. The Mishkan was completed. Purim, Pesach's a good one. Pesach needs pshat. Why? What's the inyan of Pesach? Pesach al-Bati Amisim b'Mitzrayim. Hashem jumped over there. Pesach needs a pshat, for sure. Purim needs a pshat. It's called after the lotteries. Haman made lotteries to figure out when he's killing us, and we call the name Purim. Very, very bizarre name, Purim. Now, why in the world did he even do lotteries to decide when to kill us? What was Haman like? Pick a date. I don't know, pick a good date. Now, he was very happy when it came out to Zayin Adar. It came out to today, to Adar. He was happy because he said Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter in Adar. Now, the way we know Moshe Rabbeinu was Niftar in Adar is no open pasuk. You actually have to know three psukim to know Moshe Rabbeinu was Niftar in Adar. The way, how did Haman know Moshe was Niftar in Adar? Because it says on the second day of Pesach, we stopped having man in our kelim. Tes Zayin Nisan, we stopped having man. We mourned for Moshe Rabbeinu. It says we had man in the kelim 3 days. We mourned with Nistapka man shebekeleim for 30 days. There's a whole cheshbon that we mourned for Moshe Rabbeinu 30 days. And there's a whole cheshbon the Gemara makes that Moshe Rabbeinu, that we stopped having man the second day Pesach. The Gemara figures out that Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter Zayin Adar. I'm forgetting the cheshbon right now. The Gemara makes a cheshbon figuring out when we stopped having man that Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter Zayin Adar. So Haman was all excited. Clearly he was quite a knowledgeable guy. He figures out, knowing three psukim, quite a learned man, that Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter in Zayin Adar. And as such, he's very, very happy that he's making a gzeira against the Yidden in Adar, because clearly it's an auspicious time to attack Yidden, because it's a bad month for Klal Yisrael. We lost our Rebbe, we lost our leader. Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter in Adar. Why did Haman draw lots for this, Aviad? Why didn't he pick a good time? He wants to attack the Yidden. What's this drawing the lots? And I wonder, and again, why is it called Purim? It's called Lots. Lottery. What's a strange name? My suspicion, I don't know this to be true, My suspicion in Pashup Shat, why he drew lots to kill the Yidden, Amalek, who Haman comes from in this week's Parsha. This week is Amalek. I'm asking the guys will not, it's an off Shabbos, get to shul. Whatever you normally do, please go there. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa once a year, a precious mitzvah. We're going to read three psukim. B'li neder this week, I will study the three psukim. You're supposed to know what they mean. We're going to read three psukim at the end of Parshas Kisetze, and we read the last three psukim in Parshas Kisetze, a mitzvah d'oraisa once a year, remembering Amalek attacking us. And that's going to happen this Shabbos Kodesh. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. It is pashtus, the only laning the whole year that's a chiyuv d'oraisa. Every other laning is wonderful. Once a year, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So I'm asking and encouraging, find some shul to get to for laning and hear these three psukim where we mitzvah d'oraisa to remember what Amalek did to us. Parsha Zachar is coming this coming Shabbos Kodesh. So when we read these three psukim, what Amalek did to us, Amalek's attack on the Jewish people was actually an attack on Hashem. Amalek does not want that there's a God in this world. There's no Ashkacha, there's no Hashem who's involved in this world. Perhaps there's a creator, but he's misalik from this world. They don't want a God who's involved in this world. I read to the Chevra a quote from Hitler, Yimach Shemai. I read it to the guys that Hitler said, I never read Mein Kampf, Baruch Hashem, his book, his disgusting book. But I read a quote that I saw online. I read it to the Chevra that Hitler wrote that we are barbaric, talking about the Nazis, and we're proud of being barbaric. We think it's a virtue. We think it's a good thing. We're tough. We're strong. We're murderous. We think it's good. He said there's only one people in the world who bring a guilty conscience to the world, and I hate them for it, the Jew. The Jew makes us feel guilty that there's right and wrong, there's an absolute, there's Hashem. We're barbaric. He said there's one mitzvah. Hitler, Yimach Shemai, said there's a mitzvah I despise. You know what mitzvah? Bris Milah. They have a mark on their body that they're connected to God. I hate that. There's no connection to God. And Hitler attacked the Yidden. Amalek was against which mitzvah? You'll never guess. Bris Milah. You're going to read about it this coming Shabbos Kodesh when you go to shul. Vayizane b'chamaka zanav. They attacked the tail of a Yid. The tail meaning Bris Milah. They attacked Bris Milah. Rashi brings it. They couldn't stand Bris Milah. The reason Amalek fights the Jew is not about the Jew. They're actually fighting Hashem. B'lo yore Elokim, the Pasuk says, they don't fear God. They don't want that there's a people of God in this world. There's a people, our very essence testifies, we are Hashem's children. We're loyalists to Hashem. We're people who are close to Hashem. Amalek doesn't like that there's godly people here who are connected to Hashem, who have a relationship. They say, stop with this God stuff. A human being does whatever he wants. Everything's chance. There's no Hashem here. I suspect, Aviad, that the reason Haman made a lottery is based on his very claim, Yehuda. He made a lottery here. The reason he made a lottery on this earth, I suspect, is his very attack on the Jewish people is everything is chance. There's no God, there's no exact, there's no absolute here. So in killing the Jew, I want it to be a lottery. Somehow Menachem, he's saying, his very claim in attacking the Jew is everything is chance. There's no ashkocha, there's no exactness, there's no absolute, and nothing's absolute. So when you attack the Jew, what you're doing is making lotteries. What you're saying is chance. You know, the lottery advertises all you need is a dollar and a dream. You never know. A lottery saying is, I don't know. Who knows? Throw it up. You never know. Everything's just chance. You may win it. A lottery is the ultimate statement of chance. Whatever happened, randomness. A lottery means randomness. The attack on the Yid is an attack that says we believe in randomness. A Yid is the essence that God exists here. There's a people who are his children. There are people who have a different soul. They're naturally, deeply connected to God and walk around as loyally serving God. To an Amalek who wants, Hashem doesn't exist here, doesn't care about this world, is uninvolved. So everything is chance. The way you kill Klal Yisrael is an attack of chance. The language of the Torah when they attacked us is what word? Asher karcha baderech, they bumped into us on the road. And the Mefarshim explained, she said they attacked us. They didn't bump in. They happened to have like bumped into us on the road. They didn't bump in, they attacked us. It says asher karcha baderech because their attack, karcha means chance encounter. Wasn't a chance encounter. Imagine a guy comes and mugs you. Chashal mugs a person. Says it, the media would report it. In a chance encounter. It wasn't a chance encounter. He ran after and he mugged the person. Amalek came after us. And yet the Torah calls it a chance encounter. That's what Amalek is saying. It's an attack of chance. Things are just random. There's no ashkacha, there's God doesn't live here. Things are random. There's no absolute and no person. There's no ashkacha Hashem. That's what Amalek says. So Haman purposely kills his gzeir of kli is with a lottery. It's all chance. And we call the chag chance. Wink, wink. Now I am bothered. What are we calling it Purim? I need better, I admit. I want to say that I need more. I am bothered that it's called Purim a lot. Wink, wink, we call it a lottery. Like, yeah, you almost have to say Purim. You have to, like, laugh. Now, I'm bothered. I promise you I need more. I'm not satisfied. I think there's something deeper because it's still funny we call it Purim because there is no chance. But it means that's in the Chag also, Purim, lotteries. It's all under Ashkachas Hashem. The most chance in the world, that's the Chag. It's all Ashkachas Hashem. I'm bothered. I'm not getting it. I'm not just not saying it exact. I don't have it exact. But to me, it's Pashat. This is not, I'm not trying to tell you a nice vert. I'm telling you that for sure it connects, that Haman draws lots. We call it Purim. We call the Chag Purim. Everything's under Ashkachas Hashem. Now, a friend of mine, Rav Avi Feiner, a high school friend of mine, said a tremendous pshat in the word Purim, in the letters Pei Vav Resh, poor. Poor is a lottery, is a poor. Hippil poor. Pei Vav Resh. So in the word Pei Vav Resh, my friend Avi Feiner said a great vert. I've told you that I love studying the Hebrew words in Lashon Kodesh. I say this all the time, Yisrael. I'm going to say this very fast, and Yehuda's like, if I hear this again, is this a floor, Yisrael?
Yes.
Is this a table?
Yes.
Is that a ceiling? Thank. He knows, and the answer is to all of them, no. Why do I say there's not a floor? There's not a table. That's not a ceiling, Yisrael. Why do I say that? Why am I crazy, Levi? Why do I say there's not a table? So very quickly. There's nothing about this that's a T-A-B-L-E. We call it table, and both of us picture this, Levy, because we want to communicate, so we call it table. And when I say table, we both picture this a table, Birch. We call that a ceiling. There's nothing about that that's a C-E-I-L-I-N-G, nothing. We call it that, and when I say the word ceiling, we picture. There's nothing that's a floor. There's nothing about this as a hand. This is a yad. It's not a way to refer to this. It's a yodalud. That's what this is. Lashon Kodesh is not a different way to say something. In English, a hand, it's not a hand. When I say hand, let's both picture this. When you say hand, we'll picture this. It's not an H-A-N-D. Yad is not a way to, if when I say yad, picture, no, this is a yad. If you knew all the letters of the Aleph Beis, it's a Yodalad. That's what it is. It happens to be, what's the gematria of Yodalad? 14. How many knuckles in the hand? 14. 3, 6, 9, 12, and 2 on the thumb, it's 14. It happens, it's a yad, it's a yudah, it's what it is. This is why if you read the Megillah in English, are you yaitza dubi in English?
No.
You are. You're yaitza in English, 100%. If you want to hear the Megillah a week from today in English, yaitza. Make sure to hear Megillah night and day, you're yaitza in English. However, dubi, if you say it in English, if you say it in English, if it's written in English in the class, if it's written in English, you're yaitza. However, if you read it in English and you don't understand English, are you yaitza? No. If you don't understand Lashon Kodesh, are you yaitza? Yes. You know why? Because if you say it in Lashon Kodesh, if you say yad, you said this whether you know what you said or not. If you say hand and you don't know what refers to this, you said nothing. Hear, Akiva? So very important. Lashon Kodesh is different than every single language in the world. Every language in the world is askamas umma v'umma. It's not a table. When we say table, we picture this. It is a shulchan. It's a shin lamed ches nun. It's not a way to refer to it. If you know what each letter is, you could guess it's a shin lamed ches nun. Levi, you know what I'm saying? It's a whole different language, Lashon Kodesh. So we have a word, poor. What does poor mean? A lottery. I want to analyze the word poor. Pei, vav, resh. What's the translation of vav? Vi. What does v mean in the whole Torah? Daniel, what does v mean? And. Good Shlomo. Vi is and. And. This and that. Daniel and Daniel. Two friends who love each other. Dan and Dan. Dan v'dan. V means and. What's a vav? In Lashon Kodesh, what's the translation of a vav? A hook. Thank you, Daniel. Three Daniels. A vav is a hook. You know why a vav is a hook? Because it means and. It hooks things. What does a vav look like, my friends? A hook. Because a vav looks like a hook, because a vav's a hook. A vav means and, which hooks two things. And a vav in Lashon Kodesh is a hook. Vav is a hook. So now let's read the word poor. Pei vav resh. Vav means connect, and. Pei, connect to resh. The very word poor tells you to connect the pei and a resh. Pei vav resh. Vav means connect. So connect the pei to the resh. What letters connect pei and resh in the aleph beis? What letters connect pei and resh? There are two letters between pei to resh. What are the two letters? Tzadi and kuf. Pei, tzadi, kuf, resh. So the word poor says connect the pei and the resh. Pei, vav, resh. Vav is a hook. Pei, vav, resh. Connect the pei to the resh. What letters connect pei to resh? Tzadi and kuf, ketz. What is ketz? Ketz means, it says, Yaakov Avinu bikesh legalei sa ketz. Now, when you were young and not as smart as you are today, so you thought Yaakov wanted to say when Mashiach was coming. It's not very intelligent, and let's get smarter. What's the difference when Mashiach's coming? Yaakov wanted to tell her of Mashiach? That's what was going on. What does it mean Yaakov wanted to be Megala the Kates? When I was a youngster, I loved Agatha Christie's books. If you read Agatha Christie's books, her stories start all different random things happening. The craziest books. Something happens in this country, and then you never know what's going on. It's always like overwhelming. You don't know what's happening. Then at the end, everything like comes together and everything makes sense. The Kates mean in all of our lives, we go through things like it's like senseless. Why is this happening? The Kates is the ending that makes the whole thing make sense. It's like, oh my goodness. We have things going on with our people now. Like what in the world? We were attacked on Simchas Torah. Crazy stuff. Yidden murdered, disgraced, shamed. Yidden were attacked on Simchas Torah, and there still remains 130 Yidden are sitting right now. Maybe 100 are still alive. Hopefully 100. We know about 100 Yidden that are alive right now in captivity. Crazy. Crazy. For 160 days, they're sitting oppressed, sitting captured, crazy randomness. Kates is the ending that makes everything make sense. It's like, oh my gosh. That's why. That's the Kates. Yaakov wanted to tell his family the Kates does not mean the date of Mashiach. That's for babies. That's for little, that's childish. It means he wanted to say the ending that explains the entire journey. Could you imagine if we under, and Hashem didn't let him say the Kates. The Kates would make sense of everything we were going through, where it's bringing us, what's happening. It's the ending that gives a clarity to the whole journey. It's like, oh my goodness. People in their own lives sometimes get a smell of the Kates. You get a sense, things you went through, like, well, Hashem, what are you doing? The guy's a young kid, picture a youngster going through difficulty. But as he's working and you see what he's becoming, he may even have a sense, I understand where you were bringing me, Hashem. The Kates is the ending that gives purpose and meaning to the whole journey. Now, poor, a lottery is the to the world represents randomness. Chance, coincidence, that's a lottery. Hidden in the word poor is what? Pei vav resh says connect the pei to the resh. What word is hidden in the word poor? Kates. Kates means everything's towards a purpose. It's all directed. It's all exact. So hidden in the word poor, my friend Avi Feiner showed, I think brilliantly, hidden in the word poor is the word Kates. Because it says pei vav resh, connect the pei to the resh. What connects the pay to the resh? Kate, Sadikov. And it means that everything which looks random is all towards a direction. So Haman, in a display of randomness, draws a lottery when to kill us. When does it turn out on Adar? He's very happy because Moshe Rabbeinu's death. Unbeknownst to Haman, it's a very, very good day because it was Moshe Rabbeinu's birth. Guess what? He was born on Zayin Adar. Today, Moshe Rabbeinu was Zayin Adar, was Nifter today, he was also born today. Haman, for some bizarre reason, didn't notice it. He asked my Rebbe, that what's the deal with this Haman? Haman's all happy that his lottery came out to Adar, because it's a bad time for the Yidden, because Moshe, their leader, was Nifter on today. Unbeknownst to Haman, he like missed the boat, Moshe Rabbeinu was born today. But of course, by the way, that Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter today, you have to know three psukim, you have to make a whole calculation. When we stop getting the man, it's a whole cheshbon. That Moshe Rabbeinu was born the day he died is an open pasuk in the Torah. Ben Meya ve'esim shana anochi hayoim. Today is my birthday. On the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, he told our entire nation in an open verse in the Torah, today is my birthday. Ben Meya ve'esim shana anochi hayoim. Chevra, today is my birthday, Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael. So ask my Rebbe, I don't get this crazy guy Haman. He knows Moshe Rabbeinu died Zayin Adar. He's a lamdan, a Talmud Chacham. He knows many psukim. But he doesn't know Moshe Rabbeinu was born today. That's an open pasuk. You have to like figure out that he died today, but that he's born. Once you know he died that day, it's an open verse. On the day he died, he said a speech. And he said, today's my birth. But of course, explain my Rebbe that Haman and Amalek is against the attachment to Hashem, to that which is eternal, that which is forever. Haman is part of Amalek that fights Bris Milah, the mark on our body that we have a connection to the eternal one. In the world of Haman, when it ended, it's over. There's no connection to Hashem, to the eternal one. So in the world of Amalek, in the world of Haman, all that matters, Moshe Rabbeinu died today. It doesn't matter that he lived. But in the world of Bris Milah, of connection to Hashem, of Netzchias, of eternity, that we're capable of a connection to the eternal one. We have a piece of Hashem inside of us, a Nishmas Hashem. What's much more important is Moshe Rabbeinu was born today. Moshe Rabbeinu lived. It's for all eternity. So today is the birthday of Moshe Rabbeinu. And what Haman thought had an end and a limit, Moshe Rabbeinu passed on, by us, it's Moshe Emes V'Sarasa Emes. It endures. Moshe Zarebi, Tzadik V'Misas and Kruyim Chaim. And today is the birthday of Moshe Rabbeinu. To the Amalek that denies a connection to Hashem, all that matters, he passed on. It's interesting. By us, Chassidish Yidden, on the yard side of a tzaddik, it's a very important day. In our Beis Medrash, we have a Varm Chassidish Yid that celebrates. He has something called the yard site Yomi, I recommend, where he speaks about whose yard site. He speaks about whose yard site. Now, what do you mean? Why do you talk about a yard site? Why do So with Zaycha, we have in the Beis Medrash Avar Mechsidish Yid, and he puts out the yard site Yomi. He puts out every single day whose yard site's that day, who was Nifter. Now why do we speak? Why do we even ask Chassidim? We make a shtickle Kiddush. It's the yard site, the person was Nifter. The answer is that a Yid understands a Kesher Tashem, there's eternity. There's relevance for eternity. There's schar for eternity. To the servant of Hashem, we're connected and bound to the eternal one. And to us, even on the yard site, when other people, Haman would look at it, Haman and Amalek and his world of disconnect to God would see it as over. We see it as forever. We're connected to Hashem. Eternally relevant, eternally matters, bound up lenetzach to Hashem. So we celebrate. To Haman, it looks like Moshe was Nifter on today. We say Moshe Rabbeinu was born today. Moshe Rabbeinu was born today. And that's what's important to us. The birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, Tzadikim Misas and Kruyim Chaim. That's today's Zayin Adar, this amazing month of Adar that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us Torah. We were introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu, so that's Zayin Adar. I wanted to talk for a few minutes. I wanted to talk on Moshe Rabbeinu's yard site, on Zayin Adar. I wanted to speak for a few minutes, guys. A lot of the chevra is going to Eretz Yisrael. And my hope and dream for the guys, my own son and other chevra, my son may be going next year to Eretz Yisrael, but a lot of the chevra, I see Shmuel, and I want the people to find a Rebbe there. I want to say something. My Rebbe is sick today and needs a refuah shleima, Yechiel Yitzchak Ben Leia. And I want to say something about my Rebbe and about a Rebbe that I want to share with the guys, especially in light of guys going next year to Eretz Yisrael, Shmuel headed Avrami, about finding a Rebbe to learn Torah from. I want to share as follows. On the day of the tzaddik who's called the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, our Rebbe, I want to share something about a Rebbe for a few minutes. I was zeiche, I had this chus when Waterbury started 24 years ago, so I moved to town, and I had this chus to learn with three couples that were gerim. They were converts, and I learned beautiful yidden, precious people who decided to become yidden. It's interesting, one of those couples, beautiful older family, they were older people, she was a baker. He would come, he was in his upper 70s, 80 years old. He'd come to Shiurim, he was very close. I was very close to him, and Rabbi Sonnenschein was very close to him. He would go to Shiurim of Rabbi Sonnenschein together with 18, 19-year-olds. He would sit and shiur in complete humility. The man was upper 70s, he'd come to shiur with the chevra, one of the guys. And I was zeicher to learn this couple, amazing people. He called, him and his wife were looking for the MS for 40 years. They went to different sects of Christianity. They were looking for Hashem. They were looking for the truth. He twice gave away every penny he owned. It turned out to be a fake. But he was such a mevakish of God. Twice in his life, he gave away every dollar he owned. He was tricked, but he was looking for Hashem. He gave to some person who ripped away all his money. Such was his search. He wanted, and at the end, he found Hashem. They were from Yidden. The amazing Nes is we was Zaycha that his grandson learned in this holy yeshiva. He's married today. He's a Bentai, he was a friend of my son Manny. His grandson learned in this holy yeshiva. And it's amazing. He ended up, they were from this couple who lived in Waterbury before we came. Who knows that the whole yeshiva came for this couple of Geirim? What do we know? And his grandson ended up learning here in the yeshiva. Is an incredible thing. So there was this couple, they're both in Olam Haba today. This couple, are they both in Olam Haba today, Rav Ezi? I know Rav George is in Olam Haba. I think she also is. Yeah, Manny, do you know? Maybe not. I don't know. Rav George for sure is in Olam Haba. I have to she should be the Marichas Yamashah. I don't know the answer. Yeah, we're not clearing. They're going right. After 120, only Olam Haba. Kids, we have to be clear here. Okay. Kitzer Advarim. So one of the couples, Yuri, one of the couples was this couple, and I was zeiche to learn with these three families, husband and wife, they were all converts. And they were big mivakshim. They wanted badly Torah. They wanted to study. They wanted to serve Hashem in a very serious way, Dubi. But one of the things I noticed in studying with them, if I would quote Rekiv Eger, the Pnei Yeshua, if I would quote one of our greats, it didn't mean anything to them. Wow. If you're learning with a guy and you say Rekiv Eger, people are like, tell me, please, Rekiv Eger. I would say Akiva, the names of greats, it didn't mean anything. Now, they cared about Divrei Torah, but the one it came from, it meant no difference. Now, in a certain way, Yisrael, there's something very cool about that. There's something profoundly cool about that because they cared about the truth, not who said the truth.
Wow.
Now, there's something, a lot to learn from that. I'll actually tell you a pshat from the Torah Tamima, from the Netziv's nephew. There's two chazal, listen to this pshat. Morty, there's a chazal says that Ezeu Chacham Haloi made me kol Adam. Who's a chacham if you learn from everybody? Another chazal says Ezeu Chacham Harayas Anoilad, if you see the future. Now, JJ, there are two different chazal. One chazal says a chacham learns from everybody, is Loi made me kol Adam. A different chazal says a chacham is Rayas Anoilad, if you see the future. If you anticipate, you plan ahead, you prepare properly, you see that which is coming. If a person prepares, they have a chag called Purim, prepare. Rayas anoilad, a guy sees, a person prepares for marriage, makes himself a proper person, works on his midas. You see somebody's married and gets angry a lot, he's not rayas anoilad. Why didn't he see one day he's going to be with a wife? He's rough on her. He's rough on his kids. That's not a chacham rayas anoilad. You're going to be with a person. Make sure you work out. You work on your midas. You're a properly built person. So you have two chazal. One chazal said a chacham is loymid mikol adam. You learn from everybody, Abi. Another chazal says you're rayas anoilad. Now you could say, could I ask the contradiction in chazal? Maybe there are two things define smart. The problem is that Rabbi Yishaya pick on the side when it says Ezo Chacham in Tamid that says the Chacham is Rayas Anaylad, he sends you to the Mishnah in Avos who says Loimid Mikol Adam. He seemed to have made a mistake. Says the Torah to me, it's one and the same.
Oh, he's saying Pshaw on the Magia?
Yeah.
Who's Magia?
Rabbi Yishaya pick. He says he didn't mean it, but that's why Hashem made him make the mistake.
Yeah,
that's
what
he says.
Yeah.
Says the Torah to Mima that it's one and the same, Abi. Loi made me kol adam means you learn from everybody. You know what the ability to be learned from everybody? There's a cool pshat, Yisrael. He says, Rayas hanoilad, pasha pshat, it means you see that which is going to be born. He says, Rayas hanoilad means when somebody says a statement, they're the moilad, they're the one who give birth to the statement. The noilad is the statement. You Rayas hanoilad means see the statement, not who says the statement. That's the ability to learn from everybody. You're Rayas hanoilad. Look at the statement. Who cares who said it? Is it true or not true? brilliant Torah Tamima. You hear this Torah Tamima, Avi? He says, Raya Sanoila means you see that which is born, not who gave birth. What?
There's no preparing.
No, so he's saying it's nothing to do with preparing. It means that you look at statements, not who said the statement. That's what Torah Tamima wants to say in Nup Shat. You Rayas Anoilad, you look at the statement, you don't look at who said the statement. So Aviad, I'm impressed.
Because the person's...
They taught me something, these three couples. They couldn't give a flip who I quoted. I said if I quoted the Rashba or Bob Watson, it didn't make any difference. All they cared about is the statement makes sense or not. Now there's something to learn from that. Because we get sold on a name, we say, oh, famous Vart, does it mean something? Is it true? They didn't fall for this stuff. Who I quoted, is it fancy? No. Is it true or not true? Does it resonate or not? There's a lot to learn from that, and I think we all should learn in that way. Ask ourselves in our own learning what resonates, what's at home. Don't hide behind names. So I like it. Nonetheless, Aviad, I ask myself that when I hear Reb Kiveger, I'm excited, and that's a good thing, because Reb Kiveger was a great. And I ask myself, these three couples, Levi, how can I get them excited? If they would hear a verse from the Baal HaTanya, we sing a song from Reb Levi Yitzchak Barditchev, I'm excited about the song, because Reb Levi Yitzchak composed it. To them, who cares? Who composed it? Now, there's something I can learn from them, and I did, and I do. But I also want to know, how can I get them excited? I started asking myself, why is Reb Kiveger exciting to me? You know what I'm asking, Levi? Why is Reb Kiveger, why is the Sfas Emes exciting to me? Why is the Pnei Yeshua exciting to me? When I hear Pnei Yeshua, I move forward. Maybe Pnei Yeshua meant nothing. So I asked myself, Levi, what would make it exciting to them? Why is it exciting to me? You know why it's exciting? You know why it's magical to me, Levi? Because my Rebbe's magical to me. My Rebbe, Rabbi Per Shlita, somebody, when he spoke, it lit a fire in my soul. And I loved what he said, and he meant something to me. This thinker, this idealist, my Rebbe's a very idealistic person. He built the yeshiva, he's talented, and he dedicated his talents to Hashem. He's worked on, he was a magical person to me, is a magical person to me. Because he's magical, he used to tell me about his Rebbe. You know who his Rebbe was? Rav Aaron Cutler. When my Rebbe told us about Rav Aaron Cutler, I moved forward. He described the glory of Rav Aaron. It was like, whoa. My Rebbe was whoa, and my Rebbe's Rebbe. And then Rav Aaron Cutler, you know who his Rebbe was? The Alter of Slobodka. And you know who his Rebbe was, the Alter of Slobodka? The Alter of Kelm. And you know who the Alter of Kelm's Rebbe was? Reb Yisrael Salanter. You know who Reb Yisrael Salanter's Rebbe was? Reb Zundel. Reb Zundel's Rebbe was the Grah. You're like, because my Rebbe was magical, it's magic all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. When you hear Pnei Yeshua, I saw my Rebbe when Rav Moshe Feinstein was nifter. My Rebbe and my father were on the floor crying like babies, bawling like babies. Rav Moshe. If your Rebbe's magical, then your Rebbe's Rebbe and your Rebbe's Rebbe. The only way to these three Gerim, it will be magical Reb Kiveger, is if they have a Rebbe who's big to them. You know what I'm saying, Levi? So that's what I want to say to the Chevron going to learn in Eretz Yisrael. I say to the guys that find somebody whose Torah is pure, whose Torah resonates by you. Find somebody, Shmuel, you hear what I'm charging you to do in Eretz Yisrael? On the day of the Yahrzeit of the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm charging when you go to Eretz Yisrael, Aseh Lecha Rav. Find a Rebbe whose Torah is you find him to be sincere, honest, real, and his Torah energizes you. And plug into that. That's what I say. We spoke about on Shabbos about Kenei Lecha Chaver. He spoke a Shabbos by Shal Shuz, Kenei Lecha Chaver, on today, Moshe Rabbeinu's Yartzeit. I say to the guys going to Eretz Yisrael, find yourself a Rebbe. Find yourself where you learn. Be smart and don't follow crowds. It's not, and your Rebbe is not the shear that you're put into by an administrator. That you'll call the Rebbe, be polite to the guy. It's not your Rebbe because you're putting in the shear. It's you go to a yeshiva with your eyes open. It might be a second seder person, a night seder. It might be somebody who lived next door to yeshiva. It might be the custodian of the yeshiva. It doesn't make a difference to me. But find somebody who has a purity and plug in. Haseh lecha rav. And the vert, when somebody has a Rebbe whose Torah is meaningful to them, that Rebbe has a Rebbe, that Rebbe has a Rebbe. I watch my children plug into the Torah of the Sfas Emes, of the Rabbanim of Sheshra. How did they, why is it magic to them? Because they plugged into a Rebbe who's a Talmud of a Talmud of a Talmud of these Sadiqim. And then it makes that your Rebbe's. I was zeichet to sit where Avi Beitler is. I sat this close to Reb Chaim Brim. He would talk to us. To us, he was magic. To me and my friends, this is a Yid who didn't eat all week. He fasted the whole week. Not he ate after Shki, he ate late at night. He was a Yid of beauty, of fire. He used to tell us about the Chazon Ish. It was like, why are you kidding me? So then you're ready here early, and the Chazon Ish, go back earlier, Dairis, who the Chazon Ish looked up to, Reb Chaim Eizer. You go back who Reb Chaim Eizer looked up to, so it's magic to you because the magic of your Rebbe. It plugs you into a Messiah of Torah, to a Messiah of that which is precious, that which is authentic, but it has to be authentic. If it's something shallow, it always struck me, I was very, very close to a Yid of Yaakov Moshe Katz, who I remain like I look up to. He's not a kid. He would talk about his Rebbe. He's not a 20-year-old. He's not a 16-year-old guy, my Rebbe. You're talking about an older Talmud Chacham. He would talk about his Rebbe. It was like, Reb Chaim Brim was in his 70s, was one of the G'dayle Adar. Reb Chaim Brim would talk about the Chazon Ish like a 15-year-old talks about his Rebbe. But this was a tzaddik and a malach who spoke about his Rebbe. So then when you plugged in like that, his Rebbe's, 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 Rebbe, all of a sudden it's magic to you earlier, Dairis. So that's the charge on Moshe Rabbeinu's yard site that I want to charge the guys, find Rebbeim. Yesterday we spoke about friendship and certainly Kenei Lecha Chaver. Plug into friends, attach to friends. Friendship is vital. In the world of Chassidus, again, Chassidus is just Yidden, Tzadikim, plugging into ideals, very old ideas of Yiddishkeit. In the world of Chassidus, it mattered a lot of Chevraya Kadisha, friendships, plugging into friends, being close to friends. Yesterday, by Shal Shudas, we spoke about friendship. And Kenei Lecha Chaver, and I think that's an important Indian coming into Purim today, I wanted to speak about Rebbeim. I happen to think that it very much connects to Purim, connects to the battle against Amalek, because it's Purim, the story of Purim, is a lot of Emunas Chachamim about Mordechai HaTzadik. It's Klal Yisrael trusting Mordechai. An external version of events is Mordechai caused all our problems. Because he didn't bow to Haman, Haman wanted to kill him. Wanted to kill Klal Yisrael, but a more pneumistic of you, and we trusted Mordechai, is that we needed tshuva, and a big part of the Purim story is Klal Yisrael's trust for Purim, and our way as a people that we're misdabek in Hashem is to be misdabek in Talmid Chacham, we're misdabek in Talmid Chacham. So I wanted to push the guys very, very strongly. Shmuel, you got Eretz Yisrael, you find that Rebbe. You go to Eretz Yisrael, you go find, eyes open, and you find somebody. You go to Eretz Yisrael, you find. You hear your charge, Shmuel? Good. Excellent, excellent. Yeah. We don't have Shlomo to sing. Shlomo's singing for the Rabbin today. He's out of cancer right now. Yeah. Yeah, we all missed it. I'm sitting here giving. We all missed. What'd you say? It's right now, as we speak. If I can ask the whole island to please come, Aryeh Barnett Shavuot. We're going to have a volleyball tournament at 5:00. A good one. We're all playing. Manny, we're in. We'll make me, you, and Hoodie. We'll make it. Me, you, Hoodie, and Chaiko. We'll make a family team.
Me and Chaiko are
good bumpers together.
Are you doing front line? Hoodie's front. What did you say? What does that mean?
I actually want to go against Chaiko. Like, no.
Once he said that, I just was thinking of putting him on the other team.
I want to line up with you.
We're doing shoulders. But I want to ask the Chevra at 6:30 if everybody can come to the... I think it's in here, not the dining room. But there's going to be right in here a Sheva Brachas for Aryeh Barnett. It's besides that he's a Chashev Ben Torah, and besides that he's Steiged Worlds, I think all the music he played for the yeshiva, all the dozens and dozens, probably hundreds of times that he played with such enthusiasm and shared it with the Chevra, there's a lot of gratitude to Aryeh. So I ask the whole Chevra comes. Instead of formal speeches, Chaiko, Martha, instead of formal speeches, Noam doesn't want their formal speeches. What about like we do at the Afrufs in Yeshiva? Different guys say a bracha, say a ha'ara, say a joke. If we just informally, Maskim Daniel, informally, if we'll go around the room, Tzvi, a guy will say a point, a ha'ara, something gishmak, we'll go around the room. But if I ask if everybody can join, I think Rafi is going to be 6:30 in here. Is Bensi Newman here? Bensi's not here right now. We'll see if we play. Is that a little weird to play music for Aryeh? I don't know if we'll do that or not, Yisrael. We'll see about that. But
would we have sound if
someone
was here?
They could be even mala maka.
Exactly.
I wanna repeat over. By Shala Shudis, I said something from Minayim Eli Melech. I wanna end with this, Naim Eli Melech. We gotta get to the tournament. But I said from the Naim Eli Melech, he says a pshat. The Mishnah in Avi says, Al tia rasha b'fnei atzmecha. Don't be a rasha to yourself. Now, pasha pshat in the Mishnah is not to see yourself as a rasha. Pasha pshat in the Mishnah is very, very important. Before I met you guys, the guys in yeshiva changed my life in two ways, in two most important ways. My friends here, guys have taught me with my kids to notice emotions and to start paying attention to feeling. And I'm forever grateful and working on that, because we get to better places in Torah and Tefillah when we pay attention to how things hit us. So I'm very appreciative. And guys taught a sense that we're souls. We're not tin cans trying to be frum. It's not like if we do enough from things, maybe it will impact. We're souls. We have a soul that wants the right things. And Pashup Shad is don't be a Rasha b'fnei atzmecha, means don't view yourself as a Rasha inside. We're big people. I think one of the great challenges of our generation is a lot of shame. A lot of people have thoughts that they're pusel and schlugged up. We're a generation that's been exposed not to our choice. Hashem was geyser. All of us have been more exposed than we would like. We've seen things. We're a generation, and the nisayon of our generation is the sense that we're puzzled. And the answer back is it's not true. We're yidden with big souls. And altea rasha b'pnei atzma means understand your greatness. It's not a cute thing. It's not like meant for a struggling guy. It's meant for a 50-year-old Kohl guy. It's meant for a 74-year-old guy living in Mea Shearim. It's meant for a 16-year-old living in... It's meant for a 16-year-old living in Cleveland, wherever you are, that we're neshamas, that we're yidden, that we have a nishmas Yisrael. And Pashup Shad in the Mishnah is Al Tia Rashup Neatzmcha, means don't view yourself as a bad person. Not true. It's simply a lie. It's a very important Mishnah for our day, an extremely important Mishnah for our day. But I want to share the Naim Eli Melech's Pshat. I like to share the Noam Elimelech's pshat. Shmuel, the Noam Elimelech magic. I know it's late and we've been going for too long, and but the Noam Elimelech said pshat of Altia Russia b'fnei atzmecha. He said, even if somebody's a Russia, don't be alone. Altia Russia b'fnei atzmecha. Don't be a Russia by yourself. Bond with other Yidden. Said a person feels like a Russia, bond with others. He brought from the Avos to Reb Nosson. It says if somebody's in a chabura with other people, and somebody in his chabura has big accomplishments, it's Rabbi Kiva in Avos to Reb Nosson, Perek Lamed, letter Gimel. And he says if somebody's in a chabura together with another Yid, and the person finishes Shas, you get the schar of completing Shas. If a person's part of a chabura, then somebody else in the chabura is a big accomplishment. You get the schar. This is not cute stuff. Like we're not a scorecard type Judaism. It's a deep reality that we're one people. And if you bond with others and encourage others, their success is your credit. I always love in yeshiva. I love the range here. We have guys who are sitting in Beis Medrash all day and another guy struggling. Guys are going to get schar for tremendous things because it's one chevreshaf. That's an obvious to Reb Nosson. That if you're mischaber together with people, afal pishayin oisek and maseyim, naita schar and connect them. It's not a hack of a system. So I might as well be bad and just connect us. So it's not what's going on. It's a deep madrega because we're one, we can impact each other. And his kedusha goes into us. But with one tanai that we're bound together. With one tanai that we're one chabura. When we're one chabura, one person steiging. Levi, I always say in yeshiva, a youngster comes to yeshiva. Viggy, a young guy comes to yeshiva. I always say it's almost impossible that he's not going to steig. It's almost impossible. Because the yeshiva will always be successful. Klal Yisrael always succeeds. The Noam Elimelech says, in Kol Yisrael, there's no pigam. The yeshiva will have a successful year. And if you're bond together, so you go with them also. The Rambam says, don't be parish menat seber. He says, because when they do tshuva, so will you. He doesn't say if they do tshuva. A tzibur of Yidden will always do tshuva, Manny. So he says, bond with the tzibur. When they do, so will you. A youngster comes to yeshiva, people ask, will he be successful? The answer is, of course he will. Because if he's successful, or if any one of his 40 friends are successful, it will impact him because people feel close. Normally, if you stand alone, so maybe you'll succeed, maybe you won't. Maybe you'll get inspired, maybe you won't. Maybe a Rebbe will reach him, maybe he won't. If people fight and compete, if there's a system in schools where people are competing to be the Spitz guy, to be the number one, so then maybe this guy will get inspired, maybe he won't. In a world where people are united, if any one of our friends steigs, of course it will go over. We're friends. Levi steiging, when I see Levi at Musar on a Sunday afternoon, so your friends are successful. Shalashud, this Friday night, we were singing Lake Pareik. A group was singing Pareik Yasanach Mipomari Vasa. The whole yeshiva just had an aliyah. What do you mean we were only 35, 40 people, 50 people? But the answer is because we're close, that inspiration will transfer to every nook and cranny in the dorm. Levi, that has to be the model of the entirety of our people. Altia Rasha Bifnayatzla, even if a person's not succeeding, bind with our people. That's what the Noam Elimelech instructed. Connect our people. I say to the guys here, connect our people together. Even a person struggling, but if he's part of our people, when anybody steigs, it will go to him. When I see we're a Sunday, we're here. There are a lot of guys. Look around the room. There are a lot not here. Jacob, because you're here, your whole room is here. You know what I'm saying? Not because you're going to give a lecture when you play 2K with the guys, but they're playing with somebody who sat at Musar. That's the Noam Elimelech said. When we have that ischabrus, when we have that chevreshaft, what's true by one will go to the other. So I wanted to repeat that Noam Elimelech tzviki. Al te'arash b'fnei atzma. Even a person struggling, bound with Yidden, then the success of one will certainly transfer over. But tonight that we're connected. if we look down at each other, if we have tremendous division, so one guy's atzlacha is he's a lone soldier. His atzlacha will not transfer over. When I see Dubi soaking in Torah and Musa, the whole yeshiva is matzliach. Because you're nice, because you're kind, so you're a success. When you're sitting by a shal shul, this is a success of every single guy here. You know what I'm saying? Giddy has that one room at the end of the hallway in upstairs Waterbury. He's sitting, I see the whole Waterbury is here right now, much beyond Waterbury. But the whole Waterbury is here. You know why? Because Giddy's here. But it works. It only works if there's respect. If you walk out and you look down at a person, you've made division. So your steiging is your own steiging. It doesn't transfer to anybody else. But if there's a chevreshaft and there's respect, the steiging of one transfers to the other. So that's what I wanted to share with the chevra. If everybody, the hour is late, we got to get to this. Well, the minyan for mincha will take place 6:30. If everybody could change in minutes, we're gonna. It's 5 o'clock, 5:05. Hootie's dunking already. Volleyball, you're mandatory. This Musser Mishir, don't you dare start up, Levy. I'll see you in the gym. Mandatory. We're gonna talk.